namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayo Mudirayet Nashta praye svabhadreshu Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavat yuttama shloke Bhaktir bhavati naishtiki Om agyanti mirandasya Gyananjana shalakaya Chakshurun militam yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukam karoti vachalam Pangum langhayate girim Yat kripatamahang bande Sri Gurun dinatarinam Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So we're continuing our study of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the seventh canto. Chapter 15, and today's verse is number 11. Tasmat daiva upapanena muni anena api dharmavit santushta aha aha kuriyat Nityanaimittiki Kriya Tasmadaivo Papanena Munyanena Pidarmavit Santushtohar Aha Kuryan Nityanaimittiki Kriya Tasmadaivo papanena Munyanena pidarmavit Santushtohar aha kuryan Nityanaimittiki kriyaha Tasmadaivo papanena Munyanena pidarmavit Santushto har aha kuryan Nityanaimiti ki kriyaha
Thank you.
Vaishnavis. Tasmat, therefore, daiva upapanena, obtainable very easily by the grace of the Lord, muni anena, with food prepared in ghee and offered to the Supreme Lord, api, indeed, Dharmavit, one who is actually advanced in religious principles, santushta, very happily, aha aha, day after day, kuriyat, one should perform, nityanaimittiki, regular and occasional, kriya, duties. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, day by day, one who is actually aware of religious principles and is not heinously envious of poor animals should happily perform daily sacrifices, and those for certain occasions, with whatever food is available easily by the grace of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The word dharmavit, meaning one who knows the actual purpose of religious principles, is very significant. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja. Becoming Krishna conscious is the topmost stage in understanding of religious principles. One who reaches this stage performs the archana process in devotional service. Anyone, whether a grihastha or a sannyasi, can keep small deities of the Lord suitably packed or, if possible, installed, and thus worship the deities of Radha Krishna, Sitaram, Lakshmi Narayan, Lord Jagannath, or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by offering food prepared in ghee and then offering the sanctified prasad to the forefathers, demigods, and other living entities as a matter of routine daily work. All the centers of our Krishna consciousness movement have deity worship programs very nicely going on, in which food is offered to the deity and distributed to the first class brahmanas and Vaishnavas and even to the people in general. This performance of sacrifice brings complete satisfaction. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement engage daily in such transcendental activities. Thus, in our Krishna consciousness movement, there is no question at all of killing animals. So when Prabhupada says there's no question at all of killing animals, it means that we should not be implicated in any way in the killing of another living entity. So a person who understands this is called dharmavit, one who is actually advanced in religious principles. Dharma means understanding our constitutional position as spirit soul, and vit means to understand and to know that. It means that you live it moment to moment to moment. So I remember one time Prabhupada explained the difference between devotional service and lip service. Lip service means we just talk about it, but devotional service means we live it. So here in this verse, it's stated that people who are aware of religious principles, Vaishnavas, they happily perform their daily sacrifices. So that reminds me of the verse, Rajavidya Rajagoyam Pavitramidam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartum Avyayam. That this Dharma is the highest knowledge. So only those people who have come up to that level of understanding can appreciate this. Rajavidya Rajaguhyam, it's the most confidential knowledge, which Prabhupada translates as the most secret of all secrets. The secret is so secret that even when you reveal it, it remains secret. This is the most secret of all secrets. Pavitram, it is the purest knowledge. And Uttamam, it's the topmost transcendental knowledge. And how does this come to us? Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam. That it's revealed to us directly from within the heart. Just like we sing every morning. Chakudhano dilaye janme janme prabhu se divagyan hride prakashita. That divine knowledge, hride, from the heart, becomes manifested. Never have I read in Shastra that from the intellect it becomes manifested, but it comes from the heart. How does it become manifested from the heart? Sarvasya chaham ridi sannivishto matasmit yirganam apohanam cha. Krishna says in the 15th chapter, 15th shloka, that he is seated in everyone's heart. Matasmit yirganam. From me comes remembrance and knowledge. What is that remembrance? Remembrance that I am Das, 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 Anudas, the eternal servant of the Supreme Lord and all the servants of the Lord. And also remembrance that I am spirit soul, I am not this body. I am not American, I am not Indian, I am not male, I am not female, I am not black, I am white or white. I am just servant of the servant of the servant, pure spirit soul. So we have to, this is called Dharmavit, understanding this knowledge and acting in this knowledge. If we talk this knowledge, but we don't live it, then we don't have much effect or much potency. The reason that Prabhupada could do the impossible, which was spreading this movement all over the entire planet in 10 years, was because he wasn't talking about it. He was living it. And people could understand that he was there. So it behooves us, and Prabhupada wanted us, to come up to that level also, become Dharmavit. So, back to that verse, Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam, that Dharmavit knowledge is directly revealed to us from Krishna, from within the heart, because Krishna also says, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. So, that those people who are engaged in devotional service, Krishna enlightens us with intelligence, the pure intelligence of bhakti yoga, yena maam upayanti te, so that they can come to me. Krishna wants us to come to him. The question is, do we want to go to Krishna? And how seriously do we want to go to Krishna? What sacrifices are we willing to make? I can give an example from my own life. When I was an infant, I was born in London, and I was born during the war. So Germany would send these V-2 rockets to bomb London, and then the sirens would go off, and everyone would run either down into the subway, the tube, they call it, the underground, or into the bomb shelters. Well, one beautiful Sunday, sunny afternoon, my mother was walking me in a park with a pram, and everything was calm and quiet, and all of a sudden, the sirens went off. The rockets were coming. There was no time for my mother to go to a shelter. So what did she do? She threw herself on the carriage, willing to give up her own life to protect the life of her child. That's what it takes. That's love. When you're willing to give up your own life for someone else, that's love. And are we willing to give up our own life to serve Krishna? That's what we have to ask ourselves. We have to ask ourselves that every day. How am I doing in Krishna consciousness? So I can share with you some of the things that come to my mind. Is at the end of the day, before you take rest, you may have a little chat with Krishna, because we have to be establishing a relationship. We got to talk to Krishna. So we'll say that, my dear Lord Krishna, today I tried to serve you, but I can do better. Tomorrow I will do better. And then tomorrow you try to do better. And then at the end of tomorrow, you say, my dear Lord Krishna, I'm trying the best I can, but I know I can still do better. And then the next day you do better. And the next day, evening, you say, today was a pretty good day, but I know I can do better. And in this way, we stay Krishna conscious. We have to be aware that we're dealing with Krishna moment to moment to moment to moment, because he's aware of everything we do. We also should be aware. Which reminds me of a class that Prabhupada gave here in L.A. I was here in L.A. in 1975. I came January 1975, and Prabhupada came three times. He came in February, June, and July. So in one of the classes, Prabhupada was speaking, then he stopped for a moment, and he looked at everybody, and he said, you've all had millions of births. And in all of those births, you have seen everything. You have done everything. You have tasted everything. There is nothing new under the sun. Therefore, why not give this one life to Krishna? And then he went like this. So finish up your business in the material world. He went like this. Finish up your business in the material world and go back home, back to Godhead in this life. This is what Prabhupada said. I took it as a personal instruction. So I'm trying to be conscious about finishing up my business in the material world and going back to Godhead in this life. And then he said, you must become fixed up. Fixed up means solid. I didn't know what he meant when he said fix up means solid. But it stuck with me, because fixed up means solid. What does that mean? But years later, I understood what it meant. That there's no holes in it. There's no gaps. Ahoituki apratiyata. Apratiyata, there's no gaps. It's constant. It's not like Swiss cheese where there's holes, but it's a solid devotional service, the no-gap philosophy of bhakti yoga. So then he said something that really captured my attention. He said, so don't be Krishna unconscious. And I'd never heard that phrase before, Krishna unconscious. And he said, first become conscious, then you can become Krishna conscious. So first we have to become conscious. We have to be aware what we're doing. We have to become dharmavit. In full awareness and knowledge of the dharma that we're following. Which means that we offer everything to the Lord. Everything we do. So here Prabhupada is referring to this. And he says that in our centers of our Krishna consciousness movement, there's beautiful deity worship programs going on very nicely. And sumptuous preparations are being prepared and offered to the deities and then distributed, Prabhupada says, to the first class brahmanas and Vaishnavas. I guess he's talking about us. Because that's who we distribute it to. And even to the people in general. So we can't let Prabhupada down. We have to become the first class brahmanas and Vaishnavas. This is what he wanted of us. And this is what he expected of us. And this is the reason he came and gave his life to preach to us, so that we would come to that level. Recently, I had a realization. We all know that Prabhupada left India on a steamship to go to the West to spread this Dharma. In 1965, he was 69 years old. Why he left Vrindavan? Because he was paradukaduki. He was feeling the sufferings of the people in the world. Prabhupada gave the example once, if you prick your finger, you feel the pain, but no one else does. But when you're paradukaduki, you also feel the pain. This is empathy. So I realized that not only did Prabhupada leave at a very old age when he should have stayed in Vrindavan, because Sumati Muraji, when Prabhupada approached her and said, give me passage, she said, you're too old to go to America. Swamiji, you're at the end of your life. What if you leave your body in America? No, you should stay in Vrindavan. Your life will be perfect. But Prabhupada said, I must go. And not many of us realize that he went, but he was in very poor health. He wasn't even in good health. Why do we know this? Because he had two heart attacks on the boat. You don't have a heart attack if you have strong health. What to speak of two. So in poor health and at an elderly age, he set out to bring this Dharma to us. So we have to show our appreciation by not only our appreciation, but our gratitude by not letting him down. What do I mean by not letting him down? I'm sharing with you my own personal realizations here. Of course, any one of you can raise your hand and correct me if you feel I'm saying anything that doesn't fit with what you understand. But my realization is that Prabhupada's mission was to come and bring back so many fallen conditioned souls back to the lotus feet of the Lord. And if we're not serious and we have to take birth again, Prabhupada might think that he's a failure. How can we do this to him? We have to let him know he's a success. So even if not even for our own sake, but for Prabhupada's sake, we should get very serious. And the more of the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness that actually perfect their lives and go back home, back to Godhead, all the acharyas and parampara will come to Prabhupada, Rupa and Sanat, and all the six. You did a fantastic job. Radharani, fantastic job. So to glorify Prabhupada, we have to become Krishna conscious. We have to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. So it means the no-gap philosophy. We've got to be 100% Krishna conscious. Ahoituki apratiyata, so apriyata, which means no gaps. And ahoituki means unmotivated. Just like we read the 10 offenses this morning. So the 8th offense is motivation. I'm chanting this Maha Mantra thinking it's karma kanda, that I'm going to get some benefit, that I'm going to get out of the material world, I'm going to be happy, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that, go back to Godhead, which may be true, but that shouldn't be our motivation. Our motivation is to please Guru Gauranga, to please Krishna. And whether he takes us back or takes us not back doesn't matter to us. Just like there's this beautiful song in Bengali, Duker Shagore Vasiechi Utariye Janina. I'm drowning in an ocean of material suffering. And how to get out? I don't know. Utal Deyu, he prays to Krishna, please lift me out. Asiche Chutia, there's a storm coming. Kihove Taha, and what's going to happen to me then? Janina, I don't know. Then he says, Deen Doyal, you're most compassionate to the fallen conditioned souls. To me, Bhagawan, you are the Supreme Lord. Parkora am I. Please deliver me. Shamne tufan. That storm is all around me. To me, Jadi Prabhu, but because you are my master, nahi koropar, if you decide not to rescue me, Parer Asha Rakina. Then I give up that desire to be rescued. So this is ahoituki, unmotivated. If you want me to stay in the material world, I'll stay. If you want me to come home, I'll come home. Because he's the master and we're the servant. And I don't think that the servant has the right to tell the master what he wants or what he should do. His mood should be, whatever you tell me, whatever you want, that makes me happy. So going back to that verse, Raja Vijaya Raja Goyam Pavitam Idam Uttamam Pratyakshava Gamam Dharmyam, that Dharmavit knowledge is manifested directly through the heart. And then what happens? How do we know if someone's at that platform? Susu kam kartum. Everything they do is blissful. Sukam means joyful. Susu kam means extremely joyful. Or if I can follow in the footsteps of Prabhupada, more joyful than joyful. Susu kam kartum avyayam. It's inexhaustible. That bliss is no end to it. It's increasing more and more and more and more. So that's how we know that someone's advancing. I remember one time Prabhupada said in a class, morose means maya. If we're not susu kam kartum, if we're not doing everything blissfully, if we're morose, we're in maya. It's illusion. Because the constitutional position of the living entity is Sat Chit Ananda, full of knowledge, Dharmavit, and Ananda, Susukam Kartum, blissful, everything we do. So we should remember this, Nitya Naimitiki Kriya. So Kriya means in all our duties, all our activities, all our devotional things that we do during the day, whether it's nitya, where it's constant, or naimittika, occasional, we got to santushta, be happy. Very happily. Prabhupada translates santushta as very happily engaged in this service. Susu kam kartum. So this is what we should be doing. And this performance of sacrificing our own life for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna, for Rukmini Dwarkadish, Nitai Gauranga, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani, actually makes us happy. We're thinking that if I make a sacrifice, I'm going to miss out, I'm going to lose something. This is a misconception. When I serve the Lord wholeheartedly, I'm the gainer a million times. So this is what Prabhupada taught us. And this is called Dharmavit, knowledge, but practical knowledge that I live day to day. It's not theoretical knowledge. Now, for example, here, this book, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is this a book of theory? Is this a theoretical book or a practical book? Who says practical? Actually, it's a theoretical book. It's all theory, unless and until you put it into practice. If you don't live it, it's just theory. If it's just in your head, it's just theory. We got to live it, heart and soul. Then it becomes practical. So Prabhupada was giving us the practical example. He taught us our practical duties. He gave us everything we need to go back home, back to Godhead. It's nothing lacking. We don't have to listen to naysayers, people who have different ideas. My opinion is that Prabhupada's my guru, so whatever he says, I just accept it. Because that's what Shastra teaches. And I remember one time when Batsal and I had gone up to Eugene, Oregon to visit two of our god brothers, no names have to be mentioned, who had what we called in those days, gone across the river. And they were following the teachings of another spiritual teacher. So we had gone up there, and they were close friends of ours. And we were associating. But as soon as we brought up this point, immediately You know, I don't want to go there. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to hear about it. Okay. Anyway, so as we were driving back, Vatsal was driving. We were listening to a class of Srila Prabhupada on the cassette. Then all of a sudden, I said, Vatsal, did you hear that? What Prabhupada just said? What? You know, he was concentrating on it. I said, let me rewind that. And then this is what Prabhupada said. So, disciple must become perfect, but perfect disciple does not mean perfect like Krishna is perfect. That is not possible. Perfect disciple means I only know what my Guru Maharaj knows, and I don't want to know anything more. And this was so apropos because we just come back from speaking to these our God brothers who had gone across the river to get more knowledge. And we just randomly put on a cassette, and then Prabhupada said this in that lecture. It was like, wow, a bolt from the blue. So I've always remembered that. This has been my modus operandi. So here in this verse, I repeat it again. Therefore, day by day, and I always add, hour by hour, moment by moment, because that's Krishna consciousness, solid, fixed up, the no-gap philosophy. One who is actually aware of religious principles and is not heinously envious of poor animals. Now, Shastra also describes different kinds of animals, and one kind is the dvipada pashu, right? The two-legged animal. That is the human beings who are not civilized. So this chapter by Narada Muni. Narada Muni is such a great preacher. He's always going all over the world preaching, and here he's preaching about instructions for civilized human beings. So civilized human beings, they're not envious of any living entity. And Prabhupada uses the word heinously envious, which means to their detriment. Now, there's three kinds of envy. There's mental envy, verbal envy, and physical envy. Now, it's very interesting in the Sanskrit language, the word himsa means violence and envy. It's the same word. So ahimsa means non-violence or non-envious. Because envy is considered violence. It may be just mental violence. You're thinking bad about someone. And in your mind, you're having a whole thing about how you don't like them, putting them down. Or it could be verbal violence, where you're speaking to other people, you know what so-and-so did? Oh, I can't believe it. It's Maya. Or it could be physical violence. So envy is violence. So we have to... So it's heinous. This envy is heinous. And it means we're not in our constitutional position as das, 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 anudas, but we're taking the position of Prabhu. I'm the Prabhu. He's in Maya. Now, we call each other Prabhu because we elevate everyone else to the level of Prabhu, but we don't elevate ourselves to the level of Prabhu. We're the das, and everyone else is Prabhu. Therefore, we are the servant of the servants. We're everybody's servant. If a person walks in the door for the first time wearing shoes, we're their servant. My dear sir, I hope you don't mind, but rules are that we don't have shoes in the, you know. So we're always the servant in every situation. So this we know theoretically or philosophically, but can we live it? Can we live it? Just like, for example, everybody knows I'm not the body. Now, when I say I'm not the body, and Prabhupada says I'm not the body, is that the same teaching? Who says yes? Who says no? Yeah, I don't think it's the same teaching because it's just the same words. When Prabhupada's saying, I'm not the body, he's speaking from that I'm spirit soul. That's all he knows. I'm not the body. But when I say I'm not the body, it's just a philosophical understanding. It's just an intellectual thing. And the proof is every morning when you go into the bathroom and you look into the mirror. And if you're thinking, I need a shave, or I got some white hairs, or there's wrinkles, then you're thinking you're the body. And what's the solution? There's a very easy solution. How to start your day off right. You just type up in big letters, I am not the body, and stick it on your bathroom mirror. The first thing you wake up, go into the bathroom, you see it, and immediately, boom, you're fixed. So we have this morning program, and I remember Prabhupada saying that we come and we do the morning program, and it's like building up the fire of devotion in our hearts. But then the rest of the day, we slack off, and Prabhupada described that as like pouring water on the fire. So we every morning build a fire, the rest of the day, pour the water. Build a fire, pour the water. Build a fire, pour the water. Can you make advancement doing that? We can't. So instead of becoming Vaishnavas, that dharmavit, we become more like hamsters. Because a hamster, you've seen him on the wheel, working so hard, but going nowhere. And what's that wheel called? Samsara. Dava nalalita loka tranaya karunaga naganatvam. So, in my last life, whatever I was doing, I was unsuccessful. I didn't go back to Godhead, and I took birth again in the material world. And what happened when I took birth? I forgot everything. I forgot I was spirit soul. I forgot how to walk. I forgot how to talk. Forgot how to read, how to write. Didn't even remember how to eat. My mother had to feed me. Didn't remember how to go to the toilet, and that's why I wore diapers for 2 years. And so I was thinking to myself, how many millions of lives have I done this? And I said, enough. I got to get serious in this life. Because at the end of this life, there's only two possibilities. You either go back to Krishna or you go back to diapers. The choice is yours. And Prabhupada was giving us so much information and understanding and knowledge not to go back to diapers, but actually to go back to Krishna. And if we take this seriously and happily engage in our devotional service, then we will easily get the mercy of the Lord. Because in Bhagavad Gita 9:22, Krishna addresses this point. Ananyas chintayanto mam. If you have no other thought except for me, ananya means other, chinta means thoughts or considerations, mam, except for me. Ye jana prayupashate, any person who worships me like this, tesham, to such people, Nitya abhiyuktanam. I am always connected to them. Nitya, eternally connected to them. Yoga kshemam vaham yaham. And I will protect their devotional. And I'll carry what they lack. So, if we're sincere and we don't reach perfection, Krishna can carry the difference. Yes, my devotee, Prabhupada would say, he tried his best. She did her best. There was a little bit lacking, but you can make it perfect. And the pujaris, they say this wonderful mantra, which is a similar mood. Mantra hinam kriya hinam bhakti hinam janardan yat pujitam mayade paripurnam tadastume. Mantra hinam, although my chanting of mantras is completely defective, kriya hinam, my activities, my service, my duty is also completely full of faults. Bhakti hinam, although I have no devotion, Janardana, oh my dear Lord, yat pujitam maya devam, but this service that I'm offering to you, paripurnam tadastume, please accept it and make it complete. So it's not that we have to become complete. As Prabhupada said in that class, perfect devotee means I only know what my spiritual master knows and I don't want to know anything more. Now, if something more, you know, what does it mean by more? More, Prabhupada knows everything. So what's more than everything? I find that these, some of our God brothers or God sisters or other people that I meet in the yoga centers, they who claim to have higher knowledge, but I can sit with them and discuss everything point by point by point by point, and they don't have any higher understanding. And who am I? I mean, compared to some of my God brothers, I don't hardly know anything. But yet, they don't have higher knowledge. So to me, that whole thing is an illusion. They meet a guru who says, I'm going to give you higher knowledge. But Prabhupada already gave the highest knowledge. Because the knowledge was so high, Rajuvijam, the king, topmost education, some of our God brothers and God sisters couldn't understand it. So they went to another guru who gave them a lower teaching which they could understand, but called it higher knowledge. So now they could understand the lower teaching but think they have higher knowledge. But what is the higher knowledge? The higher knowledge is just one thing. And Prabhupada quotes it here, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mami Kang Sharanam Vraja. You just forget everything else and surrender to Krishna, make him number one. Mam, me, Ekam, number one. Sharanam, surrender to this. Vraja, Vraja has two meanings. The Sanskrit word Vrajan means touring. So Vraja means wherever you go, surrender and make Krishna number one. So my understanding is this, if you go from one room to another, you're going somewhere. So every step you take, you make Krishna number one. That's the first meaning of Raja. And the second meaning of Raja, of course, you surrender and make me number one as the inhabitants of Raja Dham are doing. They're the perfect example. So this is the sum and substance of this verse. And I hope that I said something to benefit you. I know there's many August devotees here, and I'm sure you'll find certain things to bring up. I hope you won't embarrass me, but please ask any questions you have, and I'd be very happy to try my best to answer. Hare Krishna.
Best, the highest process, the best master, and it's just a comment and a question that I have. One time when I was walking in downtown doing Sankirtan, there was a big rally gathering, and Gandhi's son was going to be the speaker, so I was curious to see what he was going to say. The first thing that he said out of the big paper that he had, first line, if you all want to have a change, you have to make a change from yourself, starts from yourself.
Right.
So that lines with your talk.
We have to be the change that we want to see in the world. We can't expect it of others. We have to be that person. And this is what Prabhupada taught us. He taught each and every one of us to be a leader. He wanted to have a movement of leaders that would go all over the world and bring Krishna consciousness to the conditioned souls. To have a movement of sheep, you can't spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So in the early days, everyone was a leader. They would go out, householder couples. I mean, Prabhupada started making sannyasis in the summer of 1970. So in 66, 67, 68, 69, up to the summer of 1970, it was grihasthas, was householder couples would go to a town, start a center, and that's how Krishna consciousness spread all over the world. Prabhupada wanted leaders, not sheep. So we have to study these books. We have to chant the holy name with attentiveness. not maintaining attachments to material things, even though we've heard so many instructions on this matter, we've got to get serious and not maintain those attachments. And we have to make Krishna number one in our life. How do you know whether or not Krishna is number one in your life? That could be a question someone asks. And there's a simple test. You can find out whether Krishna is number one in your life or you're number one in your life. You just start chanting japa. And you see where your mind goes. If it goes to Krishna lila, Krishna is number one in your life. But if it goes to your lila, then you're still number one in your life. Now, we may have brought Krishna from number 100 to number 2, but that's not good enough. He wants to be number one. He wants us to surrender that final and make him number one. And then we'll be truly happy. It's an illusion thinking that, because there's only two situations. Either I can make arrangements for my own happiness, or Krishna can make arrangements for my own happiness. So who can do a better job? Krishna. So why don't I trust him? And Krishna explains this in Bhagavad Gita in 1866, because the second part of that verse, Sarva Dharma Paricchaya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami Masucha. Masucha means stop worrying. Don't be in anxiety. No doubt. And that's the negative way of saying something else, a positive way. When I say to you, don't have any doubts, what I'm saying in a positive way is trust me. Right? So Masuchaha, although Krishna is saying to Arjuna, don't be unhappy, don't be worried, don't be stressed. Krishna is saying, trust me. And then he says to Arjuna, have you understood with an attentive mind everything I've said to you? Is your illusion now dispelled? And Arjuna says, yes. Now I have regained my memory by your mercy. Of course, his memory is that I'm your eternal servant. And I'm ready to do whatever you say. Please instruct me. That's the last verse of the Gita, except the next person who speaks is Sanjaya. And Sanjaya says, now I have heard this conversation between these two great souls, Krishna and Arjuna, and just hearing this dialogue, I am thrilled at every moment. This is the reaction of Sanjaya. He's thrilled. Then he says, and when I contemplate this holy dialogue, my hairs stand on end. He's completely blissed out. So when I read that, I was comparing myself to Sanjaya. Like, oh my God, I'm in total Maya compared to Sanjaya. So we have something so wonderful that Sanjaya is like, out of this world, blissed out, like you said. So we should just, and that's just the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavatam takes it a step higher. And Lord Chaitanya takes it even a more practical step, how to implement it in your daily, moment-to-moment life. Our life here in ISKCON is a total reflection of Lord Chaitanya's teachings and the pastimes of him and his associates. That's the genius of Prabhupada, that he put us in that exact same milieu. So, yes.
Thank you for a wonderful class. There was one point I wanted clarification on. You gave that example about if you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you're noticing, oh, I need to shave, or your gray hairs, that means you haven't understood you're not the body. But maybe I didn't understand correctly the point you were making, but I remember one example came to my mind right away in Vrindavan, and just in 77 when Prabhupada was departing, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there. He was, taking care of Prabhupada. There was one godbrother of ours who he knew something about acupressure or something like that, so he was determined or convinced that he could help Prabhupada by, you know, massaging him in a certain way. So they agreed, Prabhupada agreed, Tamakrishnaraj agreed, and he started doing it. And he was doing it, and at one point Prabhupada said, tell him to stop, he's hurting me. And there's no need to tell the rest of the pastime, but in other words, Prabhupada...
He didn't say you're hurting the body, that's your point?
Well, you know, Prabhupada was aware of what was happening with his body, and he was concerned about it. I don't think Prabhupada was in any, you know, was not in his normal, ordinary state.
I understand your
full
point.
100% Krishna consciousness. So it seems like he was aware and concerned of something that was happening in his body, but
okay, that's
I think
a very
he was, you know, fully
point.
Understanding that he was not the body at the same time.
Yeah. Okay, so it seems to be a contradiction. Is that what you're...
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a very wonderful point. Thank you very much for bringing it up. We should understand that when you're having a conversation, when you're talking to people, you have to talk to them at a level that they'll immediately understand. For example, a kid who's just learned arithmetic, you can't talk to him about algebra or calculus. It's just a waste of energy. He's not going to understand. So Prabhupada communicated to us in a way that we could understand. And in the beginning, he communicated at one level. And then as we have matured more and more, he communicated at higher and higher levels. Just like, for example, Prabhupada's final instruction was to establish Varnashram Dharma, protect the cows, have our own dairy, our own produce, and be self-sufficient, independent from the Ugra Karma. So that's his highest instruction. That he couldn't give at the beginning. Now, if someone is massaging Prabhupada, and it's too heavy, so Prabhupada's going to say, you're hurting me. Immediately communicate, stop. So that's how I would understand it. Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you. I would say a Mahabhagavat is someone that you're referring to. A Mahabhagavat, you know, he's completely free from all the inebrities of this material world. Srila Prabhupada said that in order to preach Krishna consciousness, you know, we have to go down to the second level, the Majjhima Adhikari. And when you're on that level, Prabhupada said you have to discriminate. You have to have this understanding of discrimination. So, you know, if you're in the U.S. and you're a Mahabhagavat, you might not get very far in terms of your preaching activity. You know, so if, you know, you act like a, you know, you walk around with no shoes on, you don't shave, you don't care what you wear, your preaching efforts could be stalled out. So Majjhima Adhikari means that you shave and you understand how to interact and you try to feel the mood of what's going on. And someone may think you're on a bodily platform of life. You're a devotee and you know you got to shave that day because you're going to go to court and represent Krishna consciousness. So you do all those activities not to think that you're the body, but you do it as a principle of preaching, of spreading Krishna consciousness. So I've always thought in Krishna consciousness where I'm at is that I do all those activities in order to set a good example for my spiritual master. And it doesn't mean I'm on the bodily platform alive, although I probably am. But it means I have an understanding and maybe even a realization of what it means to spread Krishna consciousness. So I dress properly, I bathe, you know, I shave. If somebody, you know, twists my arm, I say, wait a minute, don't twist my arm. I won't be able to put my hand in my japa bag. If someone tries to do something to me, I probably try to defend myself. And so I'm just saying that there's a certain principle of preaching, spreading Krishna consciousness, which is very important, whereas some of the things that you were discussing me meant like a Mahabhagavat, one who has no care, one who has no attachment to anything in this material world.
Thank you very much for that elucidation. And if I presented it in the way that you just described, then it was my fault for presenting it in the wrong way. But when I'm saying I'm not the body, it's my own internal realization that I present myself as a human being to everybody else. Just like, for example, I have a car. Now, I don't think that I'm the car, but I take care of it. But when I was a new devotee in 1974, I was in Toronto Temple, and the temple president had asked me, you know, to go somewhere. Here's the keys to the car. Go this somewhere and do. I forget what the service was. But because I had gotten up very early that morning, chanted all my rounds, and I was not, you know, accustomed to having such little sleep in those early days. So driving back, I fell asleep at the wheel. This was in Toronto. Now, fortunately, it was just in a street where there was a red light. I wasn't going very fast, but I plowed into the car in front of me, a Mercedes. The guy was furious. He came out of the car. "You hit me." So as a new neophyte devotee, I said, "I didn't hit you. I hit your car, but I'm very sorry." So the point is, he was identifying with this car, and everybody does that. But the devotees don't identify themselves that way. When I got back to the temple president, by the way, was Uttama Shloka. I told him what happened, because obviously the front of the car was smashed. He says, "Don't worry. I know that you're a newer devotee, and we got insurance anyway, so don't worry." So that was a great relief, because I was in great stress. So I was just trying to make the point that for myself, I have to always be conscious that I'm the spirit soul, and I'm in the material world. I have to present myself as a respectable person, as representative of Srila Prabhupada. So I try and do my best, but I know that I can do better the next day. Because if anybody deserves the best, it's Prabhupada and Krishna. Yes.
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you, Vyasa Prabhu, for a very, very wonderful presentation. Just to bring upon his point, Prabhupada was always in the mood of instructing his disciples. And previously, we know from that incident in New York where one devotee, we all know, I'm not going to name any names, Prabhupada said, "This person thinks that he's keeping me alive by his, you know," because Prabhupada was ill. And Prabhupada was teaching that you don't feel that way to your spiritual master, that because of your efforts, the spiritual master is getting better or, you know, staying alive or whatever. Prabhupada wanted to put us in our place. So he was probably doing the same thing with this devotee. The devotee came in thinking that by his acupressure or whatever, he was going to, you know, make Prabhupada better or whatever. Prabhupada is showing him that, you know, you're not even doing, you're doing the opposite. You're hurting me.
Very good insight. Thank you very much. So we always have to present ourselves as subordinate to the spiritual master. We could never think beyond that, because this is the principle of Guru Varga. It's a hierarchy. It's very, very important in Bhagavad Dharma. This is the Bhagavad Dharma hierarchy of Guru Varga, whereas the Varnashram Dharma hierarchy is sannyasi, grihasta, vanaprastha, grihasta, and brahmachari. That's a different hierarchy. But the Guru Varga hierarchy is that, you know, disciple, guru, disciple, disciple, is like this. And we have to maintain and respect this hierarchy, because it's, that's our culture, that's our tradition, that's the teachings. So thank you very much for pointing this out. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
I wasn't trying to throw a spanner in the works there.